Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we try to focus on a lights-out performance by the defense while remaining level-headed about the offense. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Jeff Hafley.
We got the bad. We got
Matt LaFleur.
We got the ugly. We got
Elton Jenkins' injury. Not great, Corey. Not great. Not a fan
hold on.
The injury.
I got something for the beginning of the show.
All right, what you got? What you got?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right
gotta
there.
Got to help carry the G because I'm really mad at the Packers, and I don't want to – I actually don't want to do this fucking podcast right now, but
that's the way
here we are. Here we are, guys. Here we are. We made it. We did it. It's Wednesday.
Your co-host for the evening doesn't want to talk, so it's going to be a good time.
Day.
It's going to be like pulling teeth. I can't wait. I'm sure we'll find a topic or two that you may want to opine upon.
Oh,
but we'll
dear.
See. We'll see. Before we get going, we do have to give a shout-out to our friends over at Nicolet Law. Support for Packer Transplants comes from Nicolet Law, a personal injury law firm serving folks across the Midwest. If you've been injured, you need more than just a quick payout from the insurance company. You need someone who will actually fight for what you deserve so you can focus on healing and moving forward. That's what Nicolet Law does. They help people get the best possible outcome. No upfront fees, no legal jargon, and no big egos. Just local attorneys who have your back when it matters most. To learn more, visit NicoletLaw.com or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLET. How you doing, Banky? I know you don't want to talk about Packers. Is there anything else you want to talk about? I mean, we can make this into a panel show.
I mean, I want to talk about the Packers, but they make it hard.
They
make it real hard. Also, like,
they do.
Like,
you're not lying.
Okay, I know everybody was depressed about Tucker Kraft. Okay, I know that happened, okay?
Right.
I know that happened, okay?
Right. It did. It most certainly did, yeah.
I'm way more depressed about Elton Jenkins' injury. Like,
yeah.
Well,
it's the end of a run, most likely. So
this is an existential moment for the Packers offense, basically because of that injury. Like, everybody was like, oh, what are we going to do without Kraft? It's like the only other injury that would be worse is our quarterback. Like, there's like, we can make it happen with anything. And honestly, Sean Ryan did not play terrible, but.
No, he didn't. He stepped in and played well. I agree.
I just, in what world are you, like, bad at right guard but good at center?
Who knows? Maybe the world we live in. We'll find out. He played well earlier this summer. As the number two. Maybe that's what
he training camp. In training camp.
Yeah. And in preseason.
Honestly, I weirder things have happened to this team.
They most
you
certainly
know,
have.
Especially in 2009 and 2010, some weird shit happened that you're like,
how is this even a thing?
The feeling that people had, like, I was a believer in 2010, but not off of any kind of facts or stats.
They had
literally
15 dudes on IR, and that was back when you couldn't come back when you were on IR. Like, you were done.
Yeah, and everything was against us. Like, it's
no doubt.
It's like, you know, crazy. And here's the thing, like, everybody's talking. So all the NFL offenses are shite right now, except for, as we said in the pre-show, the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. But the Detroit Lions were shite in week one and week two. So as we always say, the only thing I'm hanging my hat on right now is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Well, we should hope not after these last two games.
And we have, to Micah's point, I watched Micah say this.
Yes.
We've stayed in these games. Like, say what you ever, like, people bringing their own opinions about other teams and how good or bad they are, I don't know because I don't care about any other teams.
Correct.
So I'm always like, just because they have a bad record doesn't mean they're a bad team, especially in the NFL. But, like, it doesn't matter. It matters when you get good. When
that,
you get good,
bingo,
matters.
Bingo, yes. I've been
so
preaching
I'm hanging
this
my
for
hat on that.
Like a
that's
month
all I got,
now.
Though. That's all I got.
Though. And that's all you need. I mean, look, Corey, in 2023, you're talking about 2010. 2023 with Jordan Love as a first-year starting quarterback, they were 3-6 at this very moment after a loss in Pittsburgh in Week 10. You know, and they go on a run and they get to the divisional round, and I get it. You don't hang a banner for the divisional round. But the point is, we have no idea how these next eight games are going to play out just for the Green Bay Packers, let alone all the other teams that they're vying position for, you know, in the NFC, who's going to rise, who's going to fall. Yeah, we probably know most of the teams that are going to be probably pretty good down the stretch, but we have no idea how things will actually play out. And that's the fun. Like, why do you do this if you're resigned to, oh, it's over, the Packers suck, they've lost two games, their offense has been garbage, I'm done. You got eight more games.
Oh, no, that's I'm not done.
No, I know you're not. I'm just saying I just there are plenty of folks out there. We're back to it sounding like a morning at a frat house at your place. I like it.
Here's the thing. I'm not done.
No, I know you're
not. I'm just what happens, I'm never done on the Packers. The Packers could be – here's the thing. If my expectations had been set right, the Packers can be 0-10. I'm still here, and I'm actually loving talking about them because I'm like, okay. But the problem with these fucking Packers is they just teased us in Week 1 and Week 2 to show us who they really were.
Mm-hmm. Or could potentially be. But that's why you try not to get too high, you know, or too low. Because as great as we felt after Week 2, this is, you know, a lot of Packers fans feel the kind of same in the reverse, i.e. bad, after these last 2 weeks. But those first 2 weeks weren't who they're ultimately going to become. And these last 2 weeks aren't ultimately who they're going to become. We have to watch it play out.
The crazy thing about that game, though, the crazy thing about that game is, like, we played the best team in the NFC.
Yep.
And... okay, because I don't agree the Lions are the best team. That was the best team in the NFC.
Well, so what's fun is they face off this Sunday, so we'll get to see.
And had we had a fucking kicker one time,
here we go. Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. I'm done.
No, seriously, like every fucking game this season.
I'm done with kicker talk.
I'm going to be honest with you. I know there's all this social talk about us being biased towards whatever the hell, and we have Brian on the show. And if this means Brian never comes on our show, fine. Okay, fine.
Right.
I am losing so much respect for Brian G right now based on this kicker situation. And I know it isn't his decision to put whoever in. And I know there's people that are like, you know, I don't know. There's some stupid shit on the internet I'm not even going to talk about. But... what is happening? Why? I don't understand. No one understands. Like, make it make sense. Make it make sense.
It makes no sense. I'm done trying to make it make sense. This, you're right where I was like 3 weeks ago. Like, I'm done. I'm over. They're going to keep Trot McManus out there. Matt said as much today. So I'm done. They can keep Haversick on the roster all year.
But why keep him on the roster? Here's the thing. Just take him off the rock.
Up and coming kicker. That's what Matt said today. Like, I don't know. Like I said, I'm done trying to explain it. I'm done trying to figure it out. It makes no sense. And as I always say, if there's a very obvious, easy solution and or way going forward, you can bet the Packers will go the opposite way. And that's once again playing out at the kicker position.
None of it makes any sense. Like, any you can sense. Say the Zero contract, sense. It doesn't make sense because they've mm-hmm. cut guys for less for more money than that. Like, they mm-hmm. you know, like yeah. they've been done with guys that they've been done with. Money isn't a thing. So is he just like that much of a bootlicking dude? Like, I don't know.
No,
is he just that great for?
Hey man, they stuck with Mason Crosby after he slumped hard, and you had to make an apology video after Crosby bounced back. So maybe you'll have to make another apology video.
I'm not making an apology video. This guy, there's no way. This guy has lost games for us at this point.
You're not wrong.
Like, you can say wrong. He's not the – okay, that last kick, whatever.
Yeah.
That last kick was 64 yards. He ain't making
it. He shouldn't have been asked to make it.
Haversick might have. We don't know.
We'll never know.
If he did a 61.
Well, also, 61 in a climate-controlled dome versus 64 in Lambeau in the wind is a little – in the cold, too, is a little different.
I mean, to be fair, he did almost – like, it was pretty close.
The first one. The practice kick came up just short, right? So I think that's why.
But
Matt,
like he missed. What was the one he missed though? He missed 40 something, right?
Well, no, they eschewed trying other kicks. Like they had an opportunity to make, you know, attempt like a 57 yarder that
in my head he missed
punted
one.
Instead. But I mean, they didn't give him opportunities to kick. They kept going for it on fourth down. Punting. Yeah.
This team is so annoying.
Hence, back to your earlier comment that you don't want to talk about it. I get it. Let's get to something fun, shall we? Come on. This is why we have the hotness, so we can begin the program on up note. So let's get to the hotness. Now, obviously, coming off of that game, there can only be hotness akin or related to the defensive side of the ball. And since we're not really showing highlights anymore or any video of anything game-related, I did want to show this because this made me. I love this when I saw it live. And when I was watching the replay of the broadcast, I once again laughed out loud because here's immediately after the Packers have gotten off the field yet again on a third down, done their job. Here's Halfley just downing his Quick Trip coffee and slamming his cup down and going, did my fucking job, at least as his inner monologue. Let's take a look. I just love that. He's like, bam, did my fucking job. Boom, done. Now, offense, can you fucking do
also,
anything?
What kind of man drinks coffee at 9:30 at night?
Dog. At that stadium, I've done that. When you,
that's
they're going to be there all night. Come
man.
On, now.
I ain't nothing. That's crazy time.
I mean, that was kind of like my whole high school existence, right? What you just described right there. But
I won't.
That's
get
neither
any sleep
here nor there.
If I drink coffee that late.
Let's take a look at some Packers news. Obviously, we talked about it right at the start. There, Elgton Jenkins placed on injured reserve. Matt LaFleur indicating when asked this afternoon, highly unlikely that he's back at any point this season. I know Jeremy Fowler with ESPN reported that, you know, he's had the surgery and there's a very outside possibility that he could potentially be ready to be back if they go into the playoffs, somewhat probably deep in the playoffs. But even that, very highly unlikely, which obviously raises the specter that there's a very real possibility that we just watched Elgton Jenkins play his last game in a Packers uniform, which really sucks. I hate it. Not a fan of it, Corey. Not a fan.
It sucks, but here's the thing. I'm gonna say this three times, probably too many redundant things.
Mm-hmm.
We have abdicated the responsibility of finding a good center. Elgton Jenkins wasn't really the answer, and at some point, and so not having the development, like I just feel a lot better if we had a draft pick behind Sean Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Coming up.
So
ready
how
to
do
go.
You not? And I would say, like, I know you don't draft for need, but the
oh, they might at center.
Here it is.
They
here
might
is.
At center.
No, this year.
Yeah, this next offseason. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's too late. It was need. This is what I'm saying. Like, I think that it could be that the inability, it could be. I hope this is not true, right? But everything mm-hmm. Sean Ryan showed me at right guard just gives me no confidence, and I'm being Eeyore number one this week. I'm taking the mantle from Heisoder. Okay. So
okay. All right.
where my brain is going and why I can't let this go is that the inability to have a cohesive youth development backup plan at center could be the undoing of this season for the Green Bay Packers.
Potentially. Although, isn't Sean Ryan exactly what you're talking about? I mean, it's his fourth year of being in the league, and he is your backup center. That's a job he won. You know, I don't think you can draft every single position every single year to have somebody in waiting.
I mean,
that's just not how the NFL works.
Center, the guy who snaps the ball.
It. Yeah, I feel you. Like, I'm just saying, but Sean Ryan is that guy. He's your backup and a young player. Give him a chance.
He doesn't feel like a young player to me. He feels like
I know because he's been around for 4 years.
He just feels like he failed at right guard, and I feel like of all the positions on the offensive line,
right,
that feels
that's the
left
easiest
and right guard.
Is that what you're saying?
The easiest. Well, they're certainly
don't let TJ Lang hear you talking like that.
They're certainly easier than center and left tackle.
Although, what's funny, Corey, is that the market somewhat disagrees with you because the guards are getting paid now more than the centers, which is why Elgton Jenkins sat out this offseason.
And Aaron Banks,
centers
why Aaron
aren't
Banks
getting
paid. Yeah.
I mean, Banks got paid.
Yeah,
you know?
Overpaid.
Yeah, they did. We'll talk about that later. But, yeah, you're not – I get the concern. But who knows? Maybe Sean Ryan goes on a magical run these next 8 games, and all of a sudden he's your center of the future.
I will apologize.
I'm not saying
to
it's
Sean
Ryan. I'm not saying it's likely.
I
but
will apologize. Here's the thing. I will apologize to Sean Ryan personally and contribute to his charity of choice.
All right.
If we get to the playoffs with Sean Ryan.
With Sean Ryan at center? I love it.
I mean, I don't know.
Clip it, Tyler. Clip it,
but
Tyler.
We have no, I like it. We have no backup plan, though. What are we going to do now? Who's our backup center now?
Jacob Monk, come on down.
Lord.
Okay, let's not worry about what might happen if, all right? Because, you know, something's going to happen, but it might not be that. It might be something else, blah, blah, blah. So you always got to have contingencies. That's the NFL, baby. One more snap, and all of a sudden, everything can change. So, right now,
can
Sean
Aaron
Ryan.
Banks play center?
No.
Damn. Good thing we paid so much for him.
We'll get to that. We're going to get there. Let's keep going on the news here. Romeo Doubs is good to go, even though he left the game on Monday night with a chest issue. Matt LaFleur indicated he is good to go. So that's good because I didn't love the idea of possibly going into another game shorthanded, completely shorthanded at wide receiver. In addition, it sounds like there's a chance Golden may return to practice tomorrow. They did not practice today. They only had a walkthrough. So hopefully they'll have Golden back in some capacity, which will be nice. Elsewhere along the roster in Packers news, we have Christian Welch being signed to the active roster. He had been elevated, I believe, only 2 times, so they had another elevation available, I believe. But apparently just signing him to the roster and getting it over with. Really, I thought he played well on teams when he's been given opportunities. Clearly, that's why he's there. And also, I don't think he's like break glass in case of emergency. He's fine on, you know, if he has to play defense. So understandable signing. Of course, the headline today, Corey, is that Jameis Winston is starting versus the Packers, the new starting quarterback for the New York Football Giants. This means, of course, that the Packers will either give up 4 touchdown passes or intercept Jameis 4 times. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, at least they don't have Tommy DeVito anymore, because if I was the Giants, I would play that guy. I would play your shittiest
just for the
quarterback.
Vibes.
I would play your shittiest quarterback against the Packers at this point, because we play to whoever you are.
Yep,
if you suck,
we're going to suck.
If you want to play, if you want to play tight 10-0, we'll play it. We got it. 10-10? You want 10-10? You want 40-40? We got that,
we'll
too.
We'll do that, too. Whatever
you're looking for, we'll follow. We'll just react to whatever you got.
Whatever you want. We don't dictate shit. We just follow. More on that later. Finally, Packers wearing green on the road on Sunday. Packers tweeting it out. I assume that means the Giants are wearing some kind of throwback or alternate. I haven't seen confirmation of that yet, but I assume that's the case. Giants will be in some kind of white unis, most likely, or maybe red or something. But Packers wearing green on the road. So if you're going to the game, adjust your wardrobe accordingly. All right, let's talk about the offense, shall we? Lot of thoughts out there, Corey. Lot of chatter about Jordan Love after this game. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was rough at times. And for the first time all season, you really saw him dropping his eyes and looking at the rush. And it's tough because there are opportunities downfield when you look at the tape. And I think, hell, when you were watching it live, you could see moments where guys are breaking open and he misses it because he's looking at the rush. But I'm here to say, I don't blame him. Talking about the offensive line, you never know.
He had Sean Ryan at center. You literally – okay, here's Jordan Love's perspective.
A lot of this happened in the first half before Sean Ryan was at center. But I hear you. I hear you.
It's
there on tape, man. It's like he's just skittish in the pocket this past week because the Eagles pressured him more than I think any other team, save maybe one out of all the games they played so far. So if you don't know down in and down out if you're going to have a guy in your lap, yeah, you're going to drop your eyes. And that's what Love did on occasion, and he missed some plays because of it. And I don't doubt for a second they're going to go over the tape, they're going to look at that, because there were other points in the game where it's clear they said on the sideline or something, like, okay, just get to the top of your drop and let it rip. And when he did that, he, you know, threw a strike to Watson over the middle or threw a great ball to Wicks on the sideline. Like, he just got in a trap of, I don't know who's going to be able to hold up front, and it really seemed to get to him. For the first time all year. And I don't doubt they will look at it and correct it, but that was hard to watch at times, no doubt.
I liked it better when our offensive line was awesome and our defense sucked. I'm just going to be honest about it. You know what I mean? Like, everybody got so mad at bend and break or break. And
everybody's like, Joe Barry?
I don't like this soft zone bullshit. And it's like, you know what? I liked it better when we spent all the monies on the offensive line and we protected our quarterback. Because right now, from the time David Bakhtiari did not play in a playoff game to right now, our offensive line has been weak as shit and is not.
It's been inconsistent. I wouldn't say it's weak as shit. But they were productive last year. They were good last year for the most part. But I get you, man. You're not wrong in the sense that, like, inconsistent.
We haven't solved any kind of offensive line. And I know I keep harping on the center. It starts with that, but it's other things, right? It's like overpaying for Aaron Banks and thinking you got a guy.
Yeah, the Aaron
that
Banks
even
thing
show
is
up.
An issue.
That's hard. Yeah. And then just the rotation and being like, what the hell are we doing? And
having guys rotating. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Well, because they've been successful, in quotes, at it in spurts. But certainly this year, it's been, I think, contributing to some of the inconsistency, you know?
For sure.
Another component of the offense that I, you know, the more I watch the game from Monday night and really the last 2 weeks, they got to start rethinking early downs and how they want to approach just playing offense, right? And I know Matt is going to continue to do what he wants to do, right? But I really think his adherence to, and hell, listening to him today at the podium, man, it doesn't sound like anything's going to change in this regard, but man, they keep slamming their head against a wall in the run game, and they keep committing to the run game, over committing, I would say. I'm fine, you got to run the ball, I get it, whatever, however you want to run the ball, I don't even care about under center, in the shotgun, whatever you're doing, right? I get they're going to try and run the ball. But, man, this team continuously puts Jordan Love in situations where the defense, in large part, knows when they're going to throw it because they also know that you're going to run it on early downs.
Yep.
Bill Walsh said the best down to throw the football on is first down. And I think if Jordan Love were allowed to throw on first or even second down with more regularity, you would see him get into a rhythm, especially if it happens earlier in these games. They ran the ball a billion times on Monday night. Jordan Love gets to the 2-minute warning of the first half. I think he'd thrown 5 passes. And then people wonder, like, the dropping of the eyes, not being in rhythm, guys dropping balls even. Like, no rhythm is allowed to be built in the passing game when you're continuously like a caveman banging your head against the wall. Join us, Packers offense.
I mean, what do you think
in 2025?
What do you think about this take? Okay.
All right.
So one, I'm starting with this premise. Uh-huh. Josh Jacobs is the best player on our offense, Jordan Love being second. Okay, so if you start with that premise, number two, Josh Jacobs is not as good as pass pro as Brooks or Wilson. So those two things are like a paradox where the reason they're able to key on us is because, and why they know pass or rush, is unlike Aaron Jones, Josh Jacobs is just not as good as Aaron Jones got his last 2 years at pass pro. And because of that, it puts us in situations we don't really want to be in.
It's a pretty that's a pretty decent take, Corey. I got to admit, you're not wrong.
And because Josh Jacobs is better than everybody on our team. Like, he really is. Like, if you can get Josh Jacobs,
you give him an opportunity, dude.
I mean, even when we saw, like, him, once you get him into second level, he beats the first guy, whoever it is. So if you can get him to the second level, it's over.
Well, that's the other
problem.
It's
crazy how good
he is. That's the other problem is how little fucking room he has to operate. Like, he makes everything happen after contact because he has to. Because everything is contact in the running game. Because he has no place to go. Right, which is, again, brings me back to feature him in the passing game on first down. Because to your point, he's going to be out there, right? He's your running back. He's your RB1, as it were.
Well, also, if you're going to pass on first down, you better put Josh Jacobs in because that's going to be a nice
absolutely.
That's going to be a 100%. Nice confusing thing for people.
And here's the other component here, talking about the early downs. Again, early downs. Start the game, possibly, in up-tempo. And I'm not saying you have to go the whole half or even like the whole, you know, even a couple drives. Like, just start, maybe, possibly, in some kind of 2-minute drill type scenario. Because every time they go to that, they start moving the ball. Now, I understand some of that is contextual, like
the situational.
Defense is working with a 2-score lead, so they're playing coverage, etc. I understand that. But, man, give Jordan a little kind of leeway, control there early in a game rather than, oh my gosh, it's the end of the first half or the end of the game and we need to make something happen. So we're going up tempo and now suddenly we're moving the ball. Maybe come out like that. Like, at this point, the approach you've been using is not working. And it's very clear it's not working. And here's the other component, Corey. We saw it play out on that fourth down that ended the game, essentially, where the Eagles are calling out the inside zone run. The teams you're playing know all of your solves, all of your solutions.
Of course.
Like, they keep going to the same things over and over and over again, and it's all on tape now, and we're halfway through the year, and the defenses know all of your solutions as well as you do. That has to change. That has to change, and that leads into your approach has to change, especially in early downs. That, to me, is, and I'm not saying you got to bomb it. I'm not saying you got to, you know, throw it 50 times a game. But, man, you need to lean into Jordan Love in the passing game in the worst way at this point.
That is the other thing, is that Jordan Love has proved he is a top 7 quarterback in this league. Let him
at
do
least.
Something. Let him try. Let him, you know, like you. Yes. The thing is, early on with Aaron Rodgers, he got to try to be the guy, right? It's like, and you need the reps to be the guy. I mean,
well, there. That's it. The reps. Because, I mean, have we seen anything over the course of Jordan's time as a starter that doesn't suggest if you get him in rhythm, he'll be an assassin, right? But when you're constantly just slamming your head against the wall in the run game, and now it's 3rd and 8, and you're like, oh, Jordan, oh, go make a play. Like, at least let him get in rhythm.
Yeah.
Early in
these
games.
I do think the under center shotgun thing is kind of bullshit, because we actually run better out of shotgun as far as the data is concerned.
Slightly.
I don't know about Monday night. Yes. I don't know what changed Monday night, but before Monday night, that was the case. It was like a slight. So that's kind of like a wash, right? But
Pretty much.
You know, I don't watch the tape enough to know how much we're doing the same shit. I always thought, I guess I believed in the illusion of complexity, but clearly that has been broken this season.
Some of that is gone because they don't have the personnel that they want, right? One of the funny thing is, like, we heard a lot about Bo Melton and how much he was playing over other guys and how many snaps he got, etc. But it was clear early in the game, at least, they were trying to utilize him somewhat in the motion role, right? Some of the Tyler Irvin, Jaden Reed stuff that we've seen throughout the years from Matt's offense, they sent him in motion. They used him in orbit a few times. It was like, that was the idea, use his speed, etc. But man, it didn't seem to really stick, or they didn't stick with it in any kind of meaningful way. But yeah, the illusion of complexity is interesting there, because what they were so good at in 2023, when Jordan was kind of finding that groove at the later part of the year, you mentioned it, Corey, there was two components there, right? A, all those plays look the same because they were running zone and or play action off of zone. Well, they suck at zone now. They can't run zone to save their life. Every time they try, someone fucks up, right, up front. And the other component, to your point, was Aaron Jones was so good in pass pro. So they didn't have to take him off the field. And all these plays looked the same initially. You know, they don't have that option now. I will say this, though. When they go to 2 minutes, they got to have Chris Brooks on the field. Like, I am done watching Josh Jacobs and Emmanuel Wilson just blow it in pass pro, because that's what's happening.
Also, I just want to point out that last week on this very show, I said that the Packers, because of Tucker Kraft being out, would play more 11 personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And
they certainly did. They went holy 11, Batman.
For the first time. So the most I'm looking, I just want to give a shout out, because my favorite new thing right now, because it makes me feel smart, is Dusty Evely. Contributor on Cheesehead TV, Acme Packing Company, all the things. Great guy. He's had an old fashioned at my house. Great dude. I guess that means I can't trust his data, because he's been to my house and
he's been to your home,
Old
Corey. He's had a drink.
I'm biased towards Dusty Evely.
Dusty's math doesn't work.
I can't use your math anymore because you've been in my house.
So you've had a drink at Corey's house.
According to Dusty Evely's Packers data suite,
I think it's Evely.
Evely, my bad. And I knew that. I should know better. I'm such a terrible person. Okay, so according to his Packers data suite, which I freaking love, it's amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Shout out to that. We need to have like a link in the chat or something. I forgot to do that. We were 68% and 11 personnel, which was the highest. Monday, 82.08% 11 personnel. That's crazy.
Now, here's what I would like to say something about that.
That's crazy.
I think that's a mistake. That's just me.
Oh, okay. But
that's
here's the thing. But
not the
thing
numbers.
I really
the numbers are right. I think it's a bad way to go about it. But continue. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just saying this is what I think we're going to do, because I was trying to be smart, because I understand what personnel groupings are. That's all. So, but I was right. So, hey, I'm going to take that.
The
thing I really wanted to point out, though, and I pulled it up again because I remember talking about it, is I miss motion. So in week two, we ran 68.9% motion, but we're trending down. So like the last five games, we've run motion. We were down to 28%, then 36%, then 27%, then 36%, and Monday night, 32%. I always thought motion was like the best way we could keep the illusion of complexity, because there's too many things happening and we can key off things. And I don't understand why that changed.
It's a good question, and I would love someone to ask Matt that. Maybe I'll plant that for tomorrow's availability. But I do. My suspicion would be, and who will know? I'll try to get this asked tomorrow, so then maybe we'll get Matt to illuminate us. My suspicion is, because they are down so many guys, and because they are playing guys, that might not be exactly it. But yeah, you're working with a lot of guys who haven't done a lot of that. You know, like Reed's been your motion guy for a lot of this time, right? And Golden potentially could be that guy, but he was down on Monday night, right? And that's what I said. Like, they brought, they utilized Melton a lot more, and they did use him with some of the motion stuff. But, and what's funny is, even when they have motioned, it's been pretty, like, obvious. Like, they utilize, like, a tight end in motion to try to either flip the strength of the formation and or just give Jordan a tell of, okay, it's man
or zone. Well, right. That's normally why people are in motion, but I just felt like in the last couple years of Matt LaFleur's offense, I feel like it's been for so many more different reasons, which is why I liked so much of 100%. It, because it just feels like, and it's one of those things where it feels like
really
things
well
are happening, even though they're nothing is really happening.
Nothing's happening, right.
But it just has this, like, and the other thing is, you know what's crazy is we passed 64% of the time in this game, which is the highest we've ever passed versus run. Isn't that crazy?
Well, that is most likely due to game script and or, you know, scenario, especially late in the game. Like, they were down and they hadn't scored and they had to throw. Because they certainly came out running the fucking ball. To a fault, I would say. But that's neither here nor there. And one of the issues, whether you're talking about the run or the pass, is Aaron Banks, a study in disappointment. I don't really need to belabor this too much, but man, what a whiff by Brian and the pro personnel group, which is unfortunate, man, because they've been excellent in this regard for the most part throughout Brian's tenure, right? If they sign someone in free agency, more often than not, you know that's a hit. Not always. No one bats 1,000%. And certainly this contributes to the idea that no one bats 1,000%. Because, man, I was saying earlier, like, they can't run zone. They can't. Banks can't do it. They tried. You saw the play where, you know, Banks tries. They're trying to zone to the left. Jacobs essentially gets the handoff, and there's a guy in his lap. You know, they can't run any kind of, like, zone concepts. And that's why they have to lean into the power slash trap stuff between the tackles, because that's what Banks is supposed to be good at. And I will say, like, I'll say, like, 2 weeks ago, he was playing a little better. But man, he's coming off another rough performance on Monday night. And this idea that we were going to run the ball, we were going to maul people, Matt was going to commit to the run even more than he did last year, that is completely blown up in their face because it has hamstrung them.
I don't understand look, how you. I'm hoping I don't understand how you miss that much on a road grader. I don't get it. You know what I mean? We thought we were going to get
he's
Ross fucking
body.
Verba, and we got right. not yeah. Ross Verba.
No. Yes, exactly.
We got Kryptonite Ross Verba, whatever the
Kryptonite.
Superman.
Bizarro.
Yeah, Bizarro. Yeah, we got Bizarro Ross Verba.
Ross Verba.
Exactly. So weird.
Yeah, it's super disappointing. And it's
how do you
really,
miss on
like
a free
said,
agent like that? Like, I just don't get it. It's a free agent.
It never made a lot of sense, but I understood the idea as far as the play style, right? You want to be bigger, tougher, stronger up front. Okay, theoretically that makes sense, but A, you know, he's reverted. I want to say reverted. He's continued to be injury prone, something he was in San Francisco, and he just has not played well at all. You know, it's really unfortunate. All of that said, who knows, man? Maybe Sean Ryan playing next to him? Get a little more pep in your step in the run game? Who knows? Maybe he turns it around these last 8 games. I'm not holding my breath, but as a Packers fan, I'm really pulling for him to turn it around because so far it has been hard to watch.
Well, and the other thing that's really hard to watch that we don't have in our script is, you know, can we just get wide receivers who actually catch the ball?
You know, really I didn't nice. Want to belabor the point, but yeah, right?
Like,
I mean,
how, I would have my eyes down, too, if, like, I got nobody to reliably throw
exactly.
to on third and fourth down.
Right.
Like, for fuck's sake. I just don't get it. Like,
if they catch
like,
the ball, they win that game. If
they
catch the ball, they win that game.
I don't remember. Okay, tell me if I'm wrong, okay? I do not remember Davante Adams dropping third and fourth downs and that hit his chest. I don't remember him. Maybe early the first 2 years.
Year two, he definitely did. But
in
yes,
year two,
later
yeah,
on
he had a shitty
career,
year.
No.
But yes. Like, I just if it hit, how does that happen? Like,
I don't. But here's the thing, Corey. I don't need you to be Davante Adams. I need you to be, say, fucking Robert Ferguson on a good day. Like, I don't need you to be a superstar. Just catch the ball. Catch the ball. They
well,
catch the
thing.
Ball,
like,
they
you
win
could
the
say,
game.
You could say 3 out of the 4 drops were like, oh, okay, they touched it, whatever. But that one that was like literally
oh,
hits
Melton
him, like,
having it hit him literally in the chest plate for a fourth down conversion, that's horrible. It's horrible.
Like, no
and
wonder
look, he made some nice plays
for cornerback, bro. Come
yeah.
on.
It's tough. It's just tough. The one that I give some forgiveness to is the one where, funnily enough, Love runs out of the pocket when he had Romeo Dobbs breaking wide open over the middle. And then the very next play, he tries to hit Dobbs on some, kind of a skinny post, and he puts it out in front of him, and Dobbs has to dive. And it does hit Dobbs' hands, but That would be a miracle catch. Like, that's the one where people were talking about it being a, quote, drop, where I was like, yeah, all right.
I mean, I don't
kill
Davante probably would have caught that.
Probably. He's out in L.A. now catching passes.
I can't talk too much junk about Romeo Dobbs because he has 35 catches on 56 targets for a catch rate of 62.5% and Tucker Kraft is second, and he's gone. And then Josh Jacobs. And then Golden, and he's kind of ish in and out. And then Wicks. So it's
it'd be
like,
nice if they utilized Golden. There's an idea. Maybe that'll happen this Sunday. We'll see.
I don't. With the injury, I don't. I'm not seeing that.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, I
we'll
think
see.
They'll Although, utilize him like they utilize Savion Williams, but that's about it.
The Savion Williams thing is so weird, man. Like, they didn't utilize him on offense at all until they were desperate late in the game. But before that, they were running out, like, Malik Heath and Bo Melton. Like, Savion felt like he was being punished for that fumble against the Panthers. It's like, you drafted this kid in the third round. You like his potential. He's got the athleticism. Like, utilize him in this game where you're not fucking scoring a single point until the fourth fucking quarter. Like, that felt bizarre, man. I didn't get that at all. At all. And that just kind of, you know, goes with the theme of I don't understand most of their, a lot of
I didn't get that. I still don't understand
decisions.
That game. I don't want to watch any more of it. I started watching the first quarter, and then I was like, ugh.
Why am I watching this? You know, why? I'll tell you why you were watching it. I'll tell you why. Because the defense fucking balled out. And that gets forgotten because everyone's so frustrated about the offense. But, man, that was a championship-level defensive performance from the Green Bay Packers, and it was completely wasted. That's what sucks. You have a premier team come into Lambeau Field, and you completely shut them the fuck down. And you can't even be happy about it or excited about it because your offense shit the bed. That's the unbelievably frustrating part about that game.
That's the thing. When they told me Micah Parsons had six pressures, I think, in that game, I was like, I totally missed that. It's like it's like he tied his –
he was excellent. He was excellent in this game. He affected the play so many times. There were so many like moments where they're trying to set something up downfield or Hurts is back there kind of trying to start to survey the field. And all of a sudden there's a dude getting pushed into his lap and he has to escape out the pocket and throw it either like a check down or a quick throw, whatever. Man, no one really talks about that, but that was just excellent from Parsons. He did it repeatedly all night long. And that's just one dude. Like, everybody on defense played out of their fucking minds in this game.
Well, and that's the thing. You can tell that teams are still game planning against our defense. They are changing what they can and can't
would
do. If you watch the Eagles next week, they're not going to play the same that they played against. You know what I mean? Like, and I know you go to each team, but clearly they weren't doing some things they like to do because they knew they probably couldn't do it against this team.
Like, and maybe they tried it early. Exactly. And like, look, that first drive they had, I mean, you know, it's like 14 fucking plays, whatever. They kind of emptied the bag in that first drive. And then from then on, you know, Halfley had their number. And look, I want to mention Carrington Valentine and Evan Williams because the two of them, right?
Yeah.
Valentine has the play, the first explosive, where Barkley's in the flat and he does the spin move and Valentine misses the tackle. And that sets up the next play where they do the double move to the post and Williams is in coverage and gives up the touchdown, right?
Yeah.
Both of those guys, that is one play, right, out of the 50 plus that they played in that game. Both of them responded after those plays. And that's what you want. Williams in particular has a fucking play, the very first play of the next Eagles drive, where he comes from depth all the way into the backfield and drops Barkley for a loss. You know, like these guys battled their asses off. Like they were so good, even after giving up plays that, you know, we've seen teams go in the tank. We've seen defenses start to kind of wilt after they do play a good game for a half plus more, and then all of a sudden the other team starts to get on a roll, and you kind of go, oh, you know, and you just kind of lose it. These guys were awesome. Even after they had one bad play, they came back and just balled out. Loved it. Loved it. The other thing I loved was the return of the Ball King. The Ball King. Come on, Wendell Davis. The defensive quality control coach. Remember this summer, Corey, when like every day for like a month we heard about the Ball King, about how he was preaching about punching the ball out, etc. Well, Edger and Cooper brought it all back, man. What a play. What a play. I mean, this quarterback draw. Hurts has got a first down. You're thinking, oh, God, here we go. They're in inside the 10, essentially, they probably got an opportunity to score a touchdown. At least they're going to get 3 points. And then Edrin Cooper comes in and goes, I've been schooled by the ball king. Knocks it out. More of that. Now, the Packers didn't do anything with the turnover because they stuck in their fucking heads on offense. But that's need more of that. Need more of that. That was an outstanding play by Edrin Cooper, because what have we talked about here these last couple weeks about the defense and all that swarming to the ball mentality we saw those first couple weeks kind of waned, right? It's kind of been missing a bit over the course of the last two or three games. Well, this game, you saw a lot more of that. And Edrin Cooper could have easily said, oh, he's getting tackled. He's down on the ground. I'm going to go huddle up, right? Yeah. No, he came in and punched the ball and created a turnover.
I do think Carrington Valentine's rise the last two or three games has been something to watch for sure.
It's been so good.
Especially after now I just need Sean Ryan. I need Sean Ryan to do what Carrington Valentine has done.
We need the rise of Sean Ryan.
Yes. This is what I need. 100%. I need this in life.
I'm down with it. You can find out and read about all sorts of different information about this game against the Eagles, the upcoming game against the Giants, in the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter going out tomorrow morning. Our diehard level members get an exclusive video with myself and Andy Herman previewing each and every game, each and every week. Make sure you sign up. There's a link in the description of this video for you to do so. All right, you ready, Corey? Ready for this nonsense?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right, it's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series brought to you by Luigi's Pizza. Game nights start with Luigi's Big Daddy Pizza, loaded with toppings. Choose from double sausage, double mushroom, extra special, mega meaty, and more. The kids want garlic bread? Try their Big Daddy Garlic Dippers, sauce included for the little ones, and a Big Daddy for the grown-ups. Our friends at Luigi's have the whole family covered. Find Luigi's in the freezer aisle of your local grocer. Taste the tradition.
Luigi's.
Oh, I need some pizza now. Damn, every time I read that, I get so hungry. All right, let's get to it. We got a ton of shit in Blogosphere this week, starting with this video, which I'm sure most of our viewers, listeners would have you have seen. I had a ton of people send it to me. But, man, you talk about this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Let's take a look.
All right, we have a confession.
What?
We're not in Iowa.
We aren't?
Where do you think we are?
I don't know.
We're in Wisconsin. You want to know why we're in Wisconsin?
Why?
Because we're not going mini golfing for your birthday.
We aren't?
Nope. What's this say?
Thank you.
We're going to Monday Night Football. Eagles at Packers. 1, 2, 3, 4. We even talked Emma into it. Gotcha. Are you excited or something?
Yes.
That's why we drove from California all the way to Wisconsin.
Finally!
We've had this secret for 5 months.
5 months?
We bought these tickets 5 months ago.
Come on. That's so great.
So great.
The
Packers ended up like doing a bunch of stuff for him and like all this kind of stuff. Like, there's a whole follow up.
My bit that I love in that video is the sister, Emma, saying, yelling, finally! Like, cause she's been dying to tell her brother.
To tell the secret, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. That is so awesome. I love that video. I'm all about that video.
Yeah.
So great. So great. Elsewhere in the blogosphere, Jordan Love's softball game is back on, Corey. I know you'll be in attendance there in Appleton Friday, June 5th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning. So if you're interested in watching Jordan and the guys play some softball there in Appleton at the Timber Rattler Stadium, make sure you seek out the possibility to be in the front row or other places in the stadium to watch Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers play some softball. Good times.
I wish they
good
played
times.
That in Green Bay. That's my only complaint about that.
I know. That is
that's only complaint. Selfishly because I don't want to drive 25 minutes.
Which I get. I totally understand.
And also, we have baseball stadiums here. Hi.
You do.
I need to talk right to some. I know who I need to talk to about that. Talk
Make
to
it
Double
happen.
D.
All proceeds, by the way, from that event go to Jordan's, or most of the proceeds, I believe, go to Jordan's foundation, Hands of Love, which is awesome. They do great work. Speaking of Jordan Love, man, there's been a lot of Jordan Love slander on the internet this week, Corey, a whole lot of Jordan Love slander. And I just want everyone to know, like, that you're allowed your opinion, but just know that Jordan Love bookmarks on Twitter is watching. I love this tweet. Just that. Just the gif of Batman watching Gotham. He is always present. He is always watching. And I've watched whoever, I have no idea who runs this account, but whoever it is has absolutely smoked fools for the last 2 years that, of course, were upset that the Packers drafted Jordan, got like in their feelings about it, and just slandered Jordan Love before even watching him play. But even when he started, man, God bless whoever runs that account because they are excellent and they do phenomenal work. Good stuff. Next up, Corey.
Oh dear.
I remember you'll remember this gentleman from this summer.
Yeah.
I think he's a Bears fan. I'm not entirely sure.
I'm not sure what he is. He loves to do
he trolls everybody. Packers.
Yeah,
he does troll equal fans. He's an equal opportunity troller, but man, it feels a little extra when he does Packers stuff. Like, he clearly enjoys not just roasting Packers fans, but in this instance, the Green Bay Packers play caller. Let's take a look.
You know what's better than getting 4 yards of offense per play? Getting 2 yards per play the hard way. See, everyone's expecting us to throw deep, so we throw it horizontally. Now, on this play, obviously the defense sits on it and stuffs the bubble pass. But the thing is, the next play, we're gonna do it again. You can't sack the quarterback if the ball's already dead. But we're gonna take sacks. You don't need to read the whole field. Just read half of it, okay? Four options is way more confusing than one that doesn't work. Trust the process, even if it's wrong. You think the defense is going to expect a jet sweep shuffle pass to a receiver in motion? Well, they did. This is all intentional. This is a momentum resetter for us. You need to expect the unexpected. Make the unpredictable predictable. And in a game where everyone is trying to innovate, only a few dare to stay the exact same. Okay. How does that game plan sound, guy who's definitely not 2022 Bears offensive coordinator Luke Getsy? It is just perfect. I have absolutely no notes. You took all the information very well. Congratulations.
I'm sorry, but that's excellent. That's so good. I couldn't stop laughing the first time I saw it. So good. No notes. I know you're a big fan.
I hope somebody sends that to Matt.
I know. Maybe I'll do that. I'll do that tonight. Finally, if you're in New York this Saturday, I'll be at Kettle of Fish Saturday night, 7 p.m. for a few hours, drinking, talking Packers. Come on up. Come on out. New York City meetup. Going to be a lot of fun. Kettle of Fish this Saturday, 7 p.m. down in the Village. Always a good time. Shout out Patrick for being a gracious host. He's awesome. All right. What's going on the chat, Corey?
We got Jerry. Corey alone for the watch party Sunday should be interesting. Ha ha ha.
Going to be a good time. Yes, I'll be at the game and Corey will be on watch party. And for anyone, and I've had a few people ask, yes, I'll be doing gut reactions, but it will be obviously much later in the afternoon. But I will come home and do gut reactions.
Mimsy, this season has revealed that Matt LaFleur has ducked playing Nagler and Madden because he would get mopped with poor situational play calling on Fox management.
That's it. Oh, my gosh. The idea of playing Matt in Madden is amazing.
I pulled this, and I don't think I gave it. Oh, damn it. Carry the G beer.
It's so good
my
every
elbow.
Time. It's just the sound. I need that as my ringtone. Carry the G. cans crashing to the ground in Corey's house.
Allison Martin, who I think she was looking for a kicker rant. I tried to give one early, but I just don't have it in me. She says, Kurt Benkert calling LaFleur a douche was something. I missed this. When did this happen?
Yeah, it was in response to someone. He said something like LaFleur needs to give up play calling, and someone responded on Twitter saying that he was a like eternal LaFleur hater. And then Benkert responded, like, LaFleur is just a douche. That's all. Or something. Or,
if
like, something
anybody knows what a douche is, it's definitely Kurt Benkert. So, takes one to know one, buddy. Taymor Khan. Fuck that guy. That guy is so butthurt because he got cut by the Green Bay Packers, and he will go to extreme lengths to basically that he was not cut by the Green Bay Packers. The Packers just wronged him, and he's a great quarterback.
There's some of that. But I will say this. Like, I've spoken to Kurt, and I think he's a decent dude. But what's wild to me is, like, one of the main reasons he has any platform at all is because he was a member of the Green Bay Packers. You know what I mean? Like, people aren't following him because of his time in Atlanta or San Francisco.
No.
It's because he was with the Packers.
This is,
and yet
this
he
is
continuously
the
shits on the Packers.
This is the classic. To me. Kurt Benkert. There's a long line of these people. Kurt Benkert, Ty Dunn, people who, I benefited by being around the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
And so, you know what? Instead of being respectful, I'm going to just shit on it. I'm going to take the fan base that I got because they're all freaking delusional and completely, like, don't really understand what's going on. Kyle Cousineau, shout out. And then I'm going to fucking make them – I'm gonna basically make them seem like they're my friends, and then I'm going to shit on everybody that's in Green Bay. I've seen
now,
this happen again,
now,
and, again, and, again, and, again, and, again and again and again and again and again.
I'm going to say this in Ty's defense. Like, Ty was early adopter and on board with Jordan Love, you know, and was hard on the Packers for everything they were doing in the transition from Rodgers to Love, and was very much ahead of that curve. So he may have done whatever you're talking about, but at least he's clear eyed.
You know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Jordan Love. I'm talking about being part of the McGinn hate train and just thinking that's journalism. Okay. That's trash. I also think that, personally attacking people the day before their playoff game and then having to retract and pull the article and then trying to gaslight people like me to say they never wrote the article. That's what I'm fucking talking about, Nagler. I'm not talking about goddamn Jordan Love. I'm talking about, Bob McGinn is my hero, even though he just is a fucking terrible person and he shits on the fucking Packers and does stupid shit and no one ever questions Bob McGinn ever. If you question Bob McGinn, you are a terrible person. You're a blogger. Until he becomes a blogger.
Until he is a
started,
blogger.
God damn it.
It's interesting.
Like Taymor Khan, thanks for Super Chat. I feel like Justice Mosquito was scaremongering folks. Was he spot on regarding the talent the next 4 years?
What's so funny is I had the exact same thought. Justice, I love you. We just did a video together yesterday. And yes, he is scaremongering a little bit. Like, Justice, I love you, buddy. But you have framed this in the, oh, my God, they could never draft anybody. They will not be able to sign anybody ever again for the next 3 years because of their salary cap situation. Stop.
Really?
Stop. You know the situation. You know the salary cap is real, but it is also malleable. Like,
but
well,
also,
yes,
we don't have
a
that.
Little bit. He is doom-mongering just a tad. Just a tad.
I didn't see what he said.
He wrote some articles. Wrote some articles.
I don't want to rant again. Joe Mailman, at least the Pack don't have to face Tommy DeVito. Thank you, Joe Mailman. That's what I
said. Thank God. Thank God.
Adrian Wright, I wanted to reiterate my invitation to you and all Packer fans to our tailgate this Sunday. Lot M next to the New Jersey Racing Commission from 8 a.m. Plenty of
Lot
State
M.
Street. Lot M next to the New Jersey Racing Commission from 8 a.m. Plenty of State Street brats, cheese curds, spotted cow. Ooh, and carry the G.
Come on now.
You had me at carry the G.
There.
What's a,
I'll
what's
be there
a State
at some
Street
point.
Brat? I haven't had State Street brats.
State Street in Madison, dude. That shit is awesome. It's so good. So it's from Madison, so that's why you haven't had it. So check it out. They're really good.
It's better than Usinger's.
I wouldn't say that. Let's slow
it's
down
better
a little
than,
bit.
Okay. I'm not going to ask the real question because then I'm really.
No, off. No. It's, yeah, no.
It's better it's than Stangleville?
Okay. No, of course not. Okay,
let's be real.
Not. I'm just saying it's really good. And the fact that
they have
that in Lot M at MetLife.
Yes.
I am all in on that.
Honestly, the fact that you can get anything from the state of Wisconsin, I don't want to hate on that at all in New York, so I'm not going to try to hate. But
Does
State Street Brats have a campfire wiener? Let's just I just want to put that out there.
I have no idea.
Somebody tell me.
If they don't have
a campfire wiener, then it just makes sense. It's a Madison butcher. Just totally makes sense to me. Ryan Willie, as a realistic Packer fan, I believe the rest of the NFL has figured out Matt LaFleur. If they lose to the Giants Sunday, Matt LaFleur's seat should be scorching hot.
What if they win, Ryan? You never talk about that.
Here's the thing. I've been thinking about this a while. Yeah. Even if Matt LaFleur's seat was hot, I don't think, based on our current season and all the trajectories and all the things, I don't think we're actually going to make a move midseason. I'm doubling down on saying this.
No, of course not.
But also, we're not going to do anything until like, we don't – yeah, we're just not.
Until the off season. Yes, yeah. That's why. You have to let it play out. The whole point.
Mike Witt, I got flashbacks of Tommy Cutlets when I found out we were facing Jameis Sunday. Ugh.
Yeah, except Tommy was probably more mobile than Jameis is at this point. So I'm not too worried. I think they'll have something for Jameis.
Ed, yeah, just win. But if this game comes down to a field goal, I'm regrowing my hair just so I can pull it out. No, watch, this game's going to come down. Oh my God. If this game comes down to a 46-yard field goal and he fucking misses that shit, I'm done. I'm done. Not done with the Packers. I can't do watch party by myself if that happens.
We're going to get another classic kicker video. What are you talking about? I can't wait.
I can't handle this. It's very hard for me to just do watch party, and I can't. If the Packers, oh my God. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Sean Gallagher, it is time. It is time.
It is time. That's damn right, Sean. Well said.
Don Vito 608. You see the huge email leak today? It said Jameis is starting Sunday. Did I miss anything else today?
No. There were no other emails of import on the internet or in the news today at all. Nothing.
Christopher, is Sunday a must win? Technically not. Is it a must-win for the morale of the team, especially the offensive line? Probably still a lot of ball game left, but OFF needs to play coach unafraid to make mistakes. Play coach on your terms.
To answer the question, no, it's not a must-win.
No.
World War II was a must-win.
True. Fernando Mia. Man, let Sean Ryan cook and earn his money. I like the way you think.
Thank you, Fernando.
Fernando, seriously. Thank you for putting me in my place. I needed it. I needed to stop my Sean Ryan hate immediately. But
Word. You
know what? I'm going to have it in the background ready to show its ugly face when
simmering.
I'm by myself.
It's going to be on simmer.
When I'm by myself and I have no one to take me off the freaking ledge.
Dog,
on
I don't
Sunday.
Okay, look, you keep saying, oh, by myself. Dog, every New Year's weekend I'm by myself. Like, I get it. It's tough, but
I'm not
I think you can do
look,
it. I believe look, in you.
I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just being honest.
Yes,
no,
you are.
I'm not. Like, if that makes you feel bad, that's you. That's a you problem.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm just.
All right, I get it.
I'm just.
I feel you.
I'm right. Now, I'm realizing, okay, here's the thing. I thought.
It's just setting in.
Yeah. So I thought right. We'd have a win. I really thought we were going to
yes,
kick the Eagles in the face.
Right.
So then we would be on a win. So then I could just be like, shut the fuck up, everybody talking shit about the Packers. But now the problem is, like, I'm talking shit about the Packers. So
yeah,
I have
exactly.
No one.
So you're
I have
like
no
marinating
one
in the same
me.
Shit the chat is. Right.
Yeah, I am the troll. That's the problem.
So good.
True North Packers fan. Great. Now I need to start another list. People that Corey will apologize to if they do their jobs.
That's so good.
Here's the thing. Here's how I know I'm not a narcissistic serial killer is because I apologize when I'm wrong. Okay?
That's true.
I apologize when I'm wrong.
And there is literally plenty of proof of that exact thing.
And I'm wrong a lot. And I'm not afraid to admit it.
True.
Fair. Elijah Robb, 1, fire Butkus. 2, move Steno back to O-line. 3, win. I like that.
1 and 2 are ridiculous. 3, I agree with.
Mike Witt had an interesting conversation today at work today. In hindsight, if we don't lose to Seahawks in 2014 NFC Championship game, do we beat the Pats in Super Bowl? Yes or no? I said probably not. Of course we do.
Nope. The Giants won because they were uniquely qualified to get after Brady with 4, with Michael Strahan and company.
Oh, yeah, we definitely didn't.
Packers weren't able to do that. Like, they were a really good team, obviously, but they were not that team. But the Pats won that game because they controlled the line of scrimmage with 4 guys. Packers couldn't do that.
You mean the Giants?
The Giants, sorry. Yes, correct.
It's rare that I correct you. But I think we could have won, but I'm a fucking homer. So what do
I mean, yeah, if, like, the ball bounces a certain way, you get a
thing about Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl, yeah. Every time I've seen Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl, he surprised me. So there is that.
Well, remember, he was dealing with a bum calf. They were having to do everything out of the pistol because he couldn't move. You know,
we had a great
team. It would have been a tough game.
We did.
It was a great game, no doubt.
You're right. We didn't have the
Giants were in a very
unique
position to do that. What they did, yeah.
Amy Gooding, aside from the O-line being terrible, do you think losing Tom Clements has also impacted Jordan's progress?
It's funny that Amy. I totally understand the question, but it is funny how Sean Mannion. Again, much like Adam Stenovich, not talked about after the Steelers game when he had 20 completions in a row and people are talking about him as a potential MVP candidate. But now that he's coming off a bad game, it's, maybe he misses Tom Clements. I don't want to dismiss your question. Like, I understand that kind of line drawing. But, you know, Sean's seemingly done a pretty good job. And what I always talk about when it comes to assistants, we have no idea what they're emphasizing, what they're doing on the day-to-day, what they're, you know, looking at in the practice, you know, from day-to-day during the week, what they're talking about during the games on the sideline, looking at the pictures, etc. I mean, honestly, the only people who know are Jordan Love, you know, Sean himself, and maybe Matt LaFleur, you know? I always bristle at, like, there's tough times, so we've got to find a culprit, you know? And again, Amy, it makes perfect sense. I get what you're asking and what you're saying, but no one ever talks about it when things are going well. But they always look at it when things are rough or possibly going through a rough patch. That's it.
James, I'm still ride or die. This team will bounce back. I like it. I like the way you're thinking.
Hell yes, thinking. James.
Well, especially against the Giants. If they don't bounce back against the Giants, we got bigger problems.
We got bigger fish to fry.
They just fired their coach.
The Panthers, for God's sakes, you know?
Right, but they just fired their coach. I don't think Carolina's firing their coach, are they?
Well, you get that bounce. You get that what do you call it? The interim head coach bounce. You never know. Never know.
Jason, I don't care if we're a run first or pass first team. I just want to see some fucking urgency.
Bingo. Thank you. Yes, I'm right there with you.
Wisconsin Andy, I just paid an Etsy witch $20 to fix the Packers offense. Don't worry, fellas. We got this.
Right. Amazing. An Etsy witch. Okay. Let's see if that works.
Hey.
I mean, if so, you're going to have to do that every week, apparently.
Ryan Willie, sorry, Nagler, but I agree with Corey about Goody. Goody's talent evaluation hasn't been very good over the years. In my honest opinion, his seat should also be scorching. Okay, there's a lot to unpack.
What?
Right there. One, what has he... Okay, all I'm saying about Goody, just to be clear, okay, where I stand on this, I will agree, is Goody great at picking first-round draft picks? No, but then I would always argue that no one is good at picking at 24 and later.
And
no
beyond,
one.
Right?
Literally
every single
no one.
Year.
Literally blah, 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 no right. person is good at that, right? So you have to judge on the thing, right? Is he picking in the top 8? No, he's not. He's not even picking in the top 15. Two, I think he has made a mistake on kicker. I think he made a mistake with Aaron Banks. The mistake with the center... You know, but at the same time, he's plugged a shitload of holes on this team. He's picked at 3, 4, and 5. I know people talk shit about 3, but 2, 4, and 5, and 6, and 7, amazingly, when you compare it to his peers. And he's taken a long view on this team that no other general manager does in football and goes to how well we are. And we are the winningest team in the NFL. So on the merits and the data... Right now, I'm kind of annoyed with him because I feel like he didn't take center seriously, but no one in the NFL, apparently, besides like a couple people, take center seriously.
Ryan, I can entertain complaints about Matt LaFleur's play calling or even Matt LaFleur as a coach. Goody's not a good judge of talent. Just log off, dude. Go step into the wind or feel the grass. I'm begging you. You're online way too much.
But also, somebody tell me how this Haversick but McManus thing makes any sense. Somebody tell me.
It doesn't.
Somebody explain it to me,
please. It doesn't. But Goody's not the only voice there.
Let's get Jason Wallers on this show. Let's get somebody from 1265.
What's fun? Yeah. Okay. Okay.
You think Wallers would ever be on camera?
No. I've asked him. He's if you're a PR guy, you don't want to be the story. That's the whole point of being PR. You know, you're not the story.
What about Popkey? Maybe I'll text Popkey. Be like, hey, can you come on and talk about kicker? Because I'm really annoyed right now.
Yeah, Popkey, who's on the fucking business side. He ain't going to talk about football. Come on.
Hey, Aaron, can we talk about the kicker?
Can you come on transplants? Sure. What do you want to talk about? The kicker situation.
Ghosts me for the rest of my life.
Then you never hear from
Runs away from me when I see him in social settings.
Oh, shit, man. There's Banky.
Yeah, Banky. It's so rich. It's so rich that, like, the whole, oh, man. It's just so rich. Like, what's funny is, yeah, it's just funny. It's funny. But I don't understand it. Ed,
I saw you in real time edit yourself and be like, no, go there.
Oh, well, this is the problem. I can do it right now, but what am I going to be able to do it Sunday? I don't know. Let's find out.
I'm very excited.
Will I be able to control my feelings on Sunday? I don't know if I can. Ed, when you exhaust all possibility, remember this, you haven't. Thomas Edison changed it up. Matt LaFleur.
Was that like...
Did I read that wrong?
I don't know. There was a lot going on. There was a lot of levels there. I was like, that felt like the Michael Scott quoting
Wayne Gretzky. When you exhaust all possibility, remember this, you haven't. It's a Thomas Edison quote. So then he's saying, he's telling
change it up,
Matt LaFleur to change it up.
There you go.
Because he hasn't exhausted all possibility. I got it. I'm there.
Correct.
Yeah. Sean Gallagher, what happened to the illusions of complexity?
Feels like we talked about that already. I mean, they've somewhat done some of it, but I think they're, you know, trying to cobble together offense with a lot of disparate parts that they weren't working with back in, you know, summer, back in April when they first started their, you know, season and their program and putting the offense together. A lot of shit has changed. So, I don't know, man. It's tough to watch. That's all I know.
Mike Witt, I know Neg said to ignore the trolls, but I was very happy that Micah called out Cowherd for his ridiculous take. Sometimes you have to.
Yeah, you do, but you got to remember the game is the game, and Cowherd wins by Micah responding.
Yeah. Here, I'm of two minds. I agree with you because there's times when I'll quote tweet people, and I'm like, I know I'm elevating them, and I'm punching.
Yep.
You know, it's like you're punching down, and you're making them like you're elevating them to punch them. But also, I think that there is some, especially with somebody like Micah who backed it up in that game, right? It's like, we lost,
absolutely.
But he backed it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
There's something where sometimes you have, like, and I realized this today, right? Which is why I responded to some trolls today. I do think that sometimes you get your tribe around you or people see that you're for something.
Right.
When you respond to nonsense like fucking Colin Idiot Cowherd. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, you know, like, I hear you, but also Colin Cowherd, he's on national and he's not like, he's not quite
he's
like, what's his name? Yeah. Like, he's not like, what's the guy's
Skip
name?
Bayless.
Oh my God. Like, that guy basically got deplatformed and he's still mad about it. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes,
he lost his ESPN show and he thinks he's as cool as Stephen A. Smith. So he just talks even worse than he did before. And he thinks that's a thing.
He's leaned into
it. So I think elevating him makes no sense. Cause it's like the dude's already like on the way down. Colin Cowherd is like at a national level where it's like, oh, he's a Fox guy. He's got a platform. Like, I think it's,
No doubt.
I agree. I think there's something to both, and I didn't articulate my way very well, so that's pretty classic.
No, that makes sense. I get what you're saying. I totally get it. I understand.
Travis Nelson. Frustrating to see McVay is designing more motion plays, having Matty Stafford doing bootlegs and working in high percentage of play action.
Dude.
Lots of misdirection.
Don't get me started.
But the thing is, the Eagles didn't care about our play action, by the way. They didn't care. They did at
points, and they actually had guys open if we didn't have fucking pre-snap penalties, procedural nonsense. Dude, there are two teams doing exactly what I wish LaFleur would do right now. That's the Rams and the Seahawks. Kubiak with fucking, you know, journeyman quarterback at the ready. Like, he is designing stuff out of heavy personnel. Same with McVay. He had, you know, a cobbled together offense out there in London, and he's having like third string tight ends catch touchdown passes. This is what I keep saying. Like, go heavy, get them into base, and then especially with Luke Musgrave, who's an incredible athlete, utilize him to advantage over the, you know, heavy set defensive personnel. Look, Matt's forgotten more football than I'll ever know, but I am very envious of what McVay and Kubiak are doing right now.
I hear that. I do think, and I agree with you somewhat, especially considering Golden and Reed are gone. Because 11 personnel makes
Instead
11
of
personnel with Dobbs, Reed, and Golden
Corey,
makes our
exactly this.
Sense.
Exactly this, though. You, instead of leaning into your tight ends, you leaned into a converted corner and Malik Heath. You went 80%, like you just said, into 11 personnel. I would have much preferred to go heavier. That's me. That's just what I'm into.
Well, it's funny, though, because funny about it is it does look like that, and you're someone who's at training camp, and the reason right. I was like last week why I thought we'd use a lot of 11 personnel is because that's what we have the most of, right? It's like we have a lot of wide receivers who have had time in this offense.
In the program, yes, correct. That's why I was pretty sure you were right, but like I was hoping, and I'm still
hoping.
Well,
I was right. I was right.
You were right, exactly, but I'm still hoping we might change it up a little bit.
Lieutenant Dan, Corey, return Matt LaFleur's wine. It will make you shit the bed. I will never do it. I will never do it. Here's the thing. Like, I didn't really like Mike Sherman as a coach, but if Mike Sherman brought wine to my house, that shit would be forever in my – that's never going to get rid of that because, no, he's a Packers coach. This is the other thing that I think people don't – no, and not Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan's just trying to banky bait, and I'm not taking it.
It
wasn't
sounds
here
like
last
he's about
night.
To succeed.
No, he's not succeeding. I'm not going into a rant. No, but I do want to say something that like there's a human aspect to this where it's like I'm not going to say. I like Lieutenant Dan and I'm not going to.
Oh, Lieutenant Dan's awesome. Yeah. Word.
I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing, Lieutenant Dan. He wants me to talk about the whole thing that happened on Twitter, and that's what's happening right now. And I'm trying to drink my Gary
rising above
G.
It?
No, I'm not rising above it. I'm just going sideways. Maddie Day, dude, Luigi's Pizza Pies are legit good. Why you got to do this to a dude before dinner?
I'm just saying, Maddie Day. What's up, brother?
I just read a Maddie. You know what's funny about Maddie Day? I'm not going to take that bait here. I'm not going to take that bait here. I was going to talk shit about
it. You keep saying you're going to say shit, and then you don't say it. That's just
rude,
man.
I was going to talk shit. No, Maddie Day. Okay, here's the thing. This fucking – Maddie Day has this band, Hang Ten, right? They're a really good band.
By the way, they're going to be playing in a couple weeks, Friday night in Green Bay. Be there.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So I'm like, hey, Maddie Day, do you guys want to play Saturday as well and, like, do a big Cheesehead TV thing? And he's like – no, we're playing Friday. And I was like,
yeah, but dude,
okay, well,
hello.
Well, what about Saturday?
Like,
that's
no,
dumb,
no,
though.
They
okay,
the,
no, no, no. I'm sorry. This is going to be a rant. I'm not shitting on Maddie. I don't care. This is stupid because you're talking to a guy. You can fucking nod your head all you want. I literally spent decades of my life looking at people with stats where it's like streaming does not affect. People are not going to not go out on Friday night. And then be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to see him Friday night, so I'm not going to go out on Saturday night. There's different people. It's dumb. It's a dumb old rule or whatever it is. It's stupid. It has no basis in data. I don't like it.
I know. I'm just saying Motelman just played a gig last 2 weeks ago here in New York, and one of their stipulations is you can't have another gig booked in the New York area for 3 months.
Right, I understand. I understand it's not your fault. I get it. It's dumb, though, because here's the thing. Like, I've battled venue owners forever to be like, hey, by the way, if you sell streaming, right, if you stream Motel Men, there is no data. Literally, the data shows the opposite, actually. The data shows that you can sell tickets, people will buy tickets, and different people will buy streaming packages or watch it on streaming. They're just different. It's different audiences, different shit. It's dumb.
I'm with you.
I don't like it.
We love you, Maddie Day.
By the way, I hate you, Maddie. Ralph Renucci, thanks for Super Chat. Can we trade for Howie Roseman next? LOL.
No, absolutely not.
Ralph Renucci. Oop, wrong one. Ralph Renucci, Jay Morgan is the better left tackle than Big Mouth Sheed. Thanks, Super Chat.
Man, Big Mouth Sheed, what is that? Like, is that because of the quote? After what, week one or two? Man, you guys got to let stuff go. That's amazing. And we don't know. I mean, Morgan had a good summer, but preseason ain't the regular season. I mean, I like Jordan Morgan's potential at left tackle, but we don't know. Y'all, some ungrateful motherfuckers. That's all I.
Tyler Gray. I mean, we do know. Here's what we do know.
What's that?
We do know Sean Ryan is not good at right guard.
There is evidence to suggest.
Do we at least know that?
We are approaching a theory that may be correct there. Yes, correct.
So the fact that he's not good at right guard, hey, let's put him in at center. All right. He lost his job at right guard.
You keep bitching about him being at center. What would you do at center?
I mean, I wouldn't have been in the situation.
Well, you are in the situation.
I've literally been screaming about this for 2 years that Josh Myers wasn't. We never had a plan for the last 3 years for Josh Myers.
Well, apparently the plan was we'll just move Elton over. That was the plan.
Also, the other thing is, you knew it was not great when they're talking to Elton, and like they kind of forced him to play center, his agent's probably in his ear being like, "Dude, you do not want to play center. You're not going to make as much money if you play center." So they forced him to play a position he didn't want to play, which feels weird to me. I'm not saying they did that, but that's what it feels like.
It feels
so
like that, yeah.
That's not a fucking plan. And also, you know what else is not a plan? How the fuck do you not draft a center in this draft in Green Bay? I don't understand how you don't do that. I don't understand how you don't do that. I'm sorry. I just don't get it.
I got you.
Tyler Gray, how are you live? Is this pre-recorded? I've been on Facebook and was under the assumption the world ended.
Wait, what? What?
I don't understand.
Nothing about that makes any sense to me, but sure.
What happened? Solar storm. There's a solar storm.
Is there a solar storm?
I don't know. Apparently, our producer thinks there's a solar storm.
Is Nicholas on the comms
right
now?
All of a sudden, I just hear like a random dude
in my comms. I didn't know Nicholas was working this show. Solar storm. What is happening?
Solar storm.
That was great.
Solar storm.
That's solar what storm. We heard in our head.
What? I'm like, what's
wait,
what?
What?
A solar Della storm working is
the
happening?
Show. Where is Nicholas in the control room?
He's,
I'm so confused.
He's like, he's
there's
graphics.
Della.
He's
okay,
graphics.
Very good. Oh, Nicholas.
Mike Witt.
Graphics.
He must be. Mike Witt, thanks for Super Chat. I'm still waiting for the Cheesehead TV softball game with Tyler, Banky, and Nags. Maybe throw in Bukowski or Michaels, too.
Could you imagine?
Nobody wants that. Zero
no,
people.
What they want is a flag football game there at Titletown on the football field. That
nobody wants that either. No, yes, what I want it. I'm surprised that some people haven't asked me. I should be the ref for the softball game because I would be better than half the refs they have, and I could lean into the Savannah Bananas thing, and I could do dances
Savannah
and stuff.
Bananas vibe. I'm down with it. I like it.
It would be fun, but you know what? You know, Brian Lamy has my number, but I haven't gotten any.
You don't hear from him. It's interesting. It's interesting.
Ralph Renucci, Butkus, the new Joe Barry, should be fired now. Man, people don't like Butkus.
Stop. Like, what? People, it's just about, like, firing people. I don't get it. Like, you struggle a little bit, and all of a sudden everyone needs to be fired. Man, we need to evolve. Come on. Elevate yourself.
Amy Gooding, Corey Jinx McManus with that viral tweet. So what you're saying is me getting monetized on Twitter changed the course of kicker history in Green Bay.
He missed a 40-something yarder in Lambeau in the gorgeous September air in week one. That was way before that tweet. Like, no.
Yeah,
no. McManus has been doing his own stuff. Like, he's got nothing to do with that tweet.
He definitely regrets that tweet, though.
Maybe.
He thinks about it. Maybe it's in his head.
You think about it. I don't know what he thinks about it. But
I bet he's thought about it. I bet he's thought about it at least once since he tweeted it.
Possibly.
I bet somebody's brought it up to him.
Yeah, I'll bet Chris Jackie has been like, did you catch the load of that Corey Banky jackass? Something
that
like
clown?
That's probably what check, that's probably
take
what
a look at that.
That clown,
oh,
Corey
maybe,
Banky.
Maybe like we that. Should ask Chris Jackie to be with me on the broadcast so he can
that
just...
is unbelievably phenomenal suggestion. I like this idea. Let's go.
Because then I can just rant on kickers and I'll forget how bad the,
the
Packers
whole
are.
Time. There you go.
I'll like just be it. Like, Chris, what do you see right now as a kicker? Like, do you get scared when you're trying to kick something? It's like,
what's funny
yards?
Was it last week I was on with Mason Crosby and I mentioned your apology video and he says he's never
what
seen
he
it. So we got to show it to him.
I don't agree. He's lying. He Soder getting way too crowded on the Eeyore train. I really need to win on Sunday because I like and need my leg room. Oh, don't
get
worry, He Soder. You're in first class. I'm yeah. way back in economy coach on the Eeyore train.
Yeah.
I'm Eeyore number one for 1 second, and then I'm gonna go back in the back and I'm gonna have the seat by the bathroom that smells.
Right, that
Carl
you
Van
hear,
Beckham.
You feel the waft, yeah.
I feel like Matt's postgame pressers sound a bit like the record is on replay. It's concerning. I want him to succeed. P.S. I'm pulling for Ryan. I mean,
man, what do you? I don't know what people want out of a postgame presser. I hear this comment a lot, and it's like, well, when they lose, you're gonna hear certain things. When they win, you're gonna hear other things. They're never going to go crazy. They're never. It's not like, you know, everybody wants a Herm Edwards or a Denny Green moment. Like, they are who we thought they were, or you play to win the game or whatever. But it's like, you know, most of that is, as Mike McCarthy so eloquently put it back in the day, it's boring by design.
Yeah.
They're not going to throw guys under the bus. They're not going to try and open things up for criticism for any of their guys. That's why people get so frustrated in Matt's, like, it starts with me. Because he wants people criticizing him and not his team.
Yep.
And by the way, that's good leadership. And that's a really good coach. That's it. That's all it is.
I mean, I will never tell you that one of my employees made a mistake. Even if they made a bunch of mistakes, I'm never going to say it. Now, we might have a conversation in private about ways we can improve.
In private, behind closed doors, where that conversation should happen. Exactly.
Yeah, when people make mistakes, like, you just have to deal with it privately.
Especially
and
in a public setting where everyone sees it. It's like it doesn't do any good to opine about it into a microphone at all. None.
Well, and actually, also, yeah. Yeah, and also, the funny thing that it took me a long time to learn is, like, what is their incentive for doing anything different than what they're doing? There's no upside. There's zero upside.
Zero upside. Correct.
Because all they're going to do is you're going to be on TV for all the
you're
wrong
generate
reasons.
More headlines and more heat than you've already going to get because you played poorly. That's it. Makes zero sense.
Now there is nuance to it, back to the Micah Parsons thing, where it's like he played well and he is being a leader for the team to say, guys, we only lost by a few points. We were in the game the whole way
well
until the fourth quarter, and we played well on defense, and also we were there.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was akin. He's not an offensive guy. He's not the quarterback, so it doesn't get the headlines. But that quote, those quotes from him post-game were almost Rodgers-esque as far as R-E-L-A-X, right? It's like, we're going to win a bunch of games. Like, fucking relax, people. That's what that was akin to, right?
Yep.
But it doesn't get the headlines.
Well,
but
and that's why I bring up him calling out Cowherd. He's not really elevating Cowherd because they're at the same level because Cowherd's national. But it's more about being like, it's bringing your troops together, right? If you can bring your troops with you, that is one thing to call out somebody. But if you're, it's nuance. It actually is more nuanced than we think. Shaheem McCoy Minnick. Pack fan in Philly was yelling at my TV to get 9 the fucking ball. I don't IDKY, what is that? He was off the field on big third down since he'd been back. He's done nothing but make plays, stop limiting his route tree, and give him more targets.
That's a frustrating part of it, right, is that we've seen him make plays, and he certainly seems back, healthy, whatever. But it certainly feels like they're still limiting his reps, and maybe that's a medical thing. I assume it is. He is coming back from a really significant injury. But yeah, the fact that he's not on the field for that 4th and 9 is fucking amazing. Like, it's malpractice, essentially. But who knows? Maybe he's dealing with something there. I don't know. But yes, I saw, I think it was it Ross who, Uglum, who was like, they just got to run the passing game through Watson. I'm not saying that they have to do that particularly, but they certainly need to involve him more. Four targets in a game where you don't score a fucking point until late in the fourth quarter is egregious. Mm-hmm. Like, draw some fucking plays up for Christian Watson.
Steve Anthony, Tigger Steve-O will be at Gannon's Pub on Lincoln Avenue in Chicago watching the game Sunday. We made it a Packers bar. If you're in Chi-Town, join us.
There you go. I like Tigger as opposed to Eeyore. That's well played, Steve-O. That's good stuff. I like it.
Carl Van Beckham, cut the dumb mistakes from the last nine games in half, and we're 9-0. Look forward to the return of Van Ness and Reed. More snaps for Sorrell and Hopper.
Sorrell, definitely. Sorrell had a really good game. He only played like nine snaps, but they were all excellent. Like, I really like this kid, and I do hope he gets a few more opportunities. And look, I think Enoch Barry has been pretty damn good in Van Ness's stead in the rotation, but Sorrell needs to be on the field at some point a little bit more. I agree.
Aaron Gonzalez, keep the faith. I still believe in Matt LaFleur. Go, Pat, go.
There you go, Aaron Gonzalez. What is this, positivity? What is happening here?
Braden Loya, let's go take care of business in New York. After Sunday, the revenge tour starts now. 0-6 in the division last year. Time to go 6-0. Five more dubs.
Sir, they were 1-5. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. He actually did another chat. Let's take care of business. After Sunday, the revenge tour starts now. 1-5 in the division last year. Time to go 6-9. Five more Ws.
There you go.
And then Braden Loya, one more super chat. Thank you. Corey actually has Tucker Kraft on the shelf. Okay. This is not Tucker Kraft. Okay.
Nope.
First,
nope.
This was Greg Jennings for a long time.
For a long time.
Basically. And technically, it's Max McGee. Let's be real.
Let's be real.
The best player who wore 85 was Max McGee, even over Greg Jennings, if we're just being real about this for a second.
Now it's a little ton, though. It is a little Tom.
That's the thing. In the latest iteration, I mean, technically his name is Lil Ton. He Lil never Ton. Elevated to Tucker Kraft. So, no. You know, and also, like, honestly, there's a really good chance that
he's like that meme. I'm in danger.
Packerman, you're all I have. So
Sunday's going to
bring
be
out
rough,
the puppet
man.
Sunday. Might have to happen. That's what we got. Thanks, everybody, for the Super Chat. Appreciate all
amazing.
The support. And
really appreciate
man,
it.
Man, the Super Chats alone made our show almost another hour. So thank you, guys. Thank you, guys,
absolutely
for the support.
Absolutely love it. Shout out to all Patreon members, all the support. You guys are the lifeblood of everything we do. Speaking of Patreon, the Patreon annual meetup is in 2 weeks. Make sure you check the page for the information. Along with Carry the G Club members here on YouTube, thank you so much for the support. Really appreciate it. You guys make Watch Party awesome. Anything else, Corey, before we head out into the night?
Pray for me on Sunday.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.